of wolves and shattered shields when the age of men comes crashing down. But it is not this day. This day we fight. By all that you hold dear, this good earth, I bid you stand.
Yes, 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 stand, stand, men of the West. What is going on? What is going on? They have finally caught that crazy ass boy 2 to 3 weeks ago who was killing all the Mexican people in Northside Stockton. I feel a lot safer working in San Joaquin County. I know for a fact they gonna rape him when he gets in jail. That's what this dumb goddamn, what was the husband of what's her name? Ike Turner, he looked like a dark-skinned version of Ike Turner. I'm so happy his ass is in jail. What is going on? How are you guys doing? How are you feeling? What is going on? The vibes. Welcome to the West Coast Greatest Voice. How are you guys doing? What's up? It has been some time since I uploaded a recent episode. And I apologize to some of my listeners. A few of y'all have been getting at me in my DMs. Those of you guys who follow me on TikTok, you know I've been active. Hella active on there. Especially putting videos on my YouTube. Well, shout out to YouTube, by the way. Shout out to my YouTube audience right there. Shout out to y'all. Definitely starting to grow a lot more. Damn, that kind of added some little static. Okay, dude. Do not use that sound effect anymore. I almost fucked up the whole podcast. But definitely starting to see a lot more growth on the YouTube channel, man. So shout out to y'all. Anybody out there, I recommend you subscribe to my YouTube channel as well. I was at 100 subscribers. Now I'm almost 1,000. So shout out to y'all on there. Back to that Stockton killer thing before I get into my main thing talking about our black Jews. Why the fuck does the Iranian government hate women so much, and other things we need to talk about, like should we be allowing Venezuelan people to come to our country? For those who do not know, because I know a lot of my audience might be coming from SoCal, might be coming from the other side of the country where y'all don't give a fuck about the issues in Stockton or Tracy. A lot of y'all don't even know that Stockton, California. There are a lot of people in this world who did not know that Stockton, California existed prior to the existence of Nate Diaz. Like, that's always funny when you find out about a city because of a celebrity or because of an athlete. That's always a funny thing. Like, it's an interesting thing. Like, I don't know. But, like, I know so much. Prior to me actually moving to Georgia, I knew so much about Atlanta simply because of T.I. talking about it in his songs. That's when everybody knew where Bankhead was. Everybody knew where Bankhead was. Not the most popular hood in Atlanta right now is East Atlanta, but, you know, shout out to them. But, yeah, man, that crazy-ass motherfucker, 42, 43-year-old man, was basically just walking down Mexican people in North Stockton. I don't know if it was his intent to specifically go after Mexicans. I just know, because that might have been how the news presented it. I just know he was walking people down in Northside Stockton and killing them. I hope they put his ass in general population so at least 14 members of the Nuestra Familia or the La M can get on his ass and you know. I'll just say this, and I'm not going to go too deep into that because I'm still waiting for more facts to come out. I'll just say that is a clear, crystal day, clear example of you really just have to be careful. Really have to be careful. You just really don't know. We really take for granted just how unsafe it is really just to even be outside, bro. Like, there are so many people out here who are walking around with half their mind. I read that man's rap sheet record. He had a rape conviction when he was younger, when he was in his teens. He had a few robbery charges, a few intents to sell and distribution for marijuana and quick cocaine. I bring all that up to say this for two things. One, it pains me that there are people walking around in society like that with convictions like that on their record. And I'll even take it a step further. I know a lot of people personally who, outside of that rape conviction on his record, have, let me say, marijuana, DUI, et cetera, et cetera. And none of them woke the fuck up on a Sunday and said, hey, let me get a gun and go shoot Mexican people for recreational purposes. So I have to say, man, just be cautious. At the end of the day, we take life for granted, and we also take human sanity for granted. We take for granted the idea that a lot of us are supposed to walk outside and actually care and pretend like we all are walking around with half our mind or even half of our brain in existence. So, you know, I just had to get that out the way. Rest in peace to the victims of that man. Also, there was a, and I've avoided talking about this next topic because I still don't know, but there was a situation in Merced, California, where a family, a mother, a father, I want to say they had two kids, one kid with them too as well, and also their uncle, was kidnapped at gunpoint by two men, brothers, took it into a vineyard, and executed, executioner style. I have avoided talking about it because I didn't know what was the motivation behind the killing. I don't know the politics behind it. But I'll just say there's no reason for you to take an entire family and also specifically a little girl and kill them in a vineyard. They were of Sikh descent, and I actually can't remember their names right now. I made a video talking about it earlier. This happened last month. I'm kind of just playing catch up with you guys because I know I've been late on the topics, but I want to say just rest in peace to them. And, you know, my condolences to them, man. That's some fucked up shit, man. California's a wild place, bro. United States right now in general is a wild place. Like, we're in a weird place in America right now where I feel like all of our independent regions and provinces, we wilding right now, bro. Like, they keep talking about how in L.A. they're breaking into cars, breaking into homes on a higher rate than ever. I still ain't forgot when the chief of police in L.A. said last year in December, I want to say it was, that he advises tourists to not come to LA because they cannot protect them. And this is the quote from the police chief. It is literally almost like a real life version of that movie, The Purge. For those of you guys who are too young to remember that movie, The Fucking Purge, man, so we're just an interesting time. So niggas are Jews now. Let's talk about it. So I think all of us at some certain point have gotten some kind of air of this whole anti-Semitism conversation that's going on. And it kind of all took place after Kanye West had a night where he didn't take his meds and went online and tweeted that shit about the Jews. And apparently the Jews, as he referred to them, did not take too kindly to that because he lost, I think, about 6 or 7 different contracts and forms of income within a 2-day span. They got on his ass fast, like, oh no, buddy. Beep. They pressed that button on his ass, man. And it's interesting for me because I spent most of my life in California. I lived in Alabama for a while, too, as well. Lived in Georgia, too, for a while, as well. I have not come across that many Jewish people in my travels. I have a friend I can think of specifically. He is Jewish. We literally just call him Juzak. In fact, I'll take it even a step further. Juzak, those of you guys who know, y'all know Juzak because he throws like a lot of EDM events out here in California. And Juzak, when I first met him, he had a chain on his neck of the Star of David. So funny story, I used to live in Montgomery, Alabama in a neighborhood called Bel Air on Bullet Street and E6. That neighborhood, there was a gang they called the Gangster Disciples. So those of you guys who know, IGD, at that time they were the Insane Gangster Disciples. And that gang, those of y'all who know, they use the Star of David as like their emblem in respects to the gang leaders. David, may he rest in peace. So when I saw that was my first thought. I didn't even look at when I saw him with the chain on, I didn't even look at him and think Jewish. I looked at him and thought, oh shit, yeah, GD? Like, okay, they letting white GDs in here. I didn't even know there was GDs in California. So I said this, I'm not really that familiar with Jewish people. And I think a lot of black people aren't. In fact, I'll say this. I think the majority of black people, if they didn't grow up on the East Coast or maybe in Chicago, I think what we know about Jews is only what we hear from here when Kanye West brings them up or when other rappers bring them up in songs. I say that because you can tell by how the lack of sensitivity that we as black people or lack of reception we are to how outraged Jewish people are about Kanye West's comments. When Kanye West says that Jewish people control media, when Kanye West says that Jewish people control the world and et cetera, and he's going to go DEFCON on 5 on Jews. And when Kyrie Irving, I'm going to play that Kyrie Irving apology too, because we're going to have a really deep conversation about that. When they say these things and they say, hey, when they say these things about Jews and Jewish people get upset and get irate and say, well, hey, no, you are dehumanizing us. That's a really common phrase I've heard them say. You are dehumanizing us. We get naturally a little bit like, what the fuck? Because we don't understand that with a lot of Jewish people, specifically people who are devout Jewish, they are taught and raised with the ideals, the ones who are really devout, that they are taught with the idea that there are so many instances in history where before Jews got massacred, before Jews became the scapegoat in whatever society that they were in, the conversation leading up to that was, well, Jews own all the banks. Jews own all the homes. Jews are the reason that your mortgage, the rate on your mortgage is so high. Jews are the rate that there's a poverty. Jews are the reason that there's a poverty line. Jews are the blame. See, black people, we don't understand that, because black people, when we get blamed for some shit, it's usually about danger. Like, we get blamed. They say before, like in the last 40 years, if we was trying to move somewhere, generally speaking, like in the 60s, 50s, and 40s, it would just be a conversation about, well, blacks bring crime and danger and guns and gangs and shit like that. Same thing with Mexicans. Most ethnic, we're not used to that. Most ethnic groups like Mexicans and blacks, when we move somewhere, the conversation that they use against us is saying that we're going to bring danger. We're not used to them saying they're going to buy up all our shit. I think, honestly, I think Jewish people and Chinese people are the only people who maybe get that kind of type of, I don't know, what would you call that? Would you call that middle class prejudice or middle class prejudice? They're going to come here and they're going to take over everything. They're going to buy all my stocks, bro. So, but a lot of Jews are raised with that. They are raised with that. Like, I always tell people, like, not to compare the two, but there's always a debate between, like, what was worse, like slavery or the Holocaust. And I always say the two do not compare. The two do not compare. If anything, I always say, as black people, we should have more of a conversation about Jim Crow and redlining and everything post-Reconstruction more than slavery, because just to step off to the side for a minute, Jim Crow to me was worse than slavery, because what that meant was, even when y'all knew y'all did some fucked up shit, y'all still tried to put laws in place to make it to where we were still fucked up. So, it's where it is. But, it's interesting to say that when you do not come from a certain ethnic group, you will not understand the thinking, the sensitivity of certain topics, the sensitivity of certain things, because you just don't come from that ethnic group, you don't come from that culture. So a lot of that stuff is kind of like, you get lost in it. Like, what does this mean? What are you talking about? You know, like I was telling somebody the other day, one of my boys at work, we were having a conversation about just blackface, niggardry. I don't know what the minstrel shows. And he was telling me how he doesn't understand why it's so offensive for a white person to put on black paint or black ink or Murray's hair grease. I don't know what he would try to do and impersonate being a black person. But, like, for example, Dave Chappelle, who he is a really big fan of, when he had those epic, epic episodes of Dave Chappelle, and he would dress up as the white news anchorman, or when it was that one episode he had where the black husband and the white husband traded homes, and he was a white guy, he just would put it, I don't know what makeup he used. I always thought that was chalk. Was it chalk? Like, but he would put all that stuff and there would be no issue with it. And like I told him, objectively speaking, my opinion, objectively speaking, I don't think there should be anything wrong with black, like paint, like dressing up as a black person, as a costume, or putting paint on you. Now, personally speaking, yeah, there might be some part of me that gets offended to a certain degree, because I know the history of the minstrel shows. I know the history of blackface. I know the history of that. So to be real with you, from that real conversation, I think a lot of the times with black people, when we get upset about shit, like, say, for example, like buffoonery shit, like when it's like Like when it's a comedian and he's doing like hella extra over stereotypical, this nigga's on stage dancing with a watermelon in his hand, drinking Kool-Aid, drinking four packs of Kool-Aid with like a gallon of sugar or some shit like that. Or even Madea. A lot of us grew up on the Madea plays. A lot of the criticism that Tyler Perry got, I do feel it is owed to the fact that black people, we are sensitive. We are very sensitive to that idea of that minstrel buffoonery type shit. It is what it is. So, because we know, we understand the history of that. We understand the history of how, you know, it's in the entertainment space, it is cool to be black right now. I always tell people, Americans in general, we lead culture, but African Americans, we have such a big influence on pop culture around the world. But reality is, there was a time where we only served as buffoonery and comicry in entertainment in America. And I think that kind of brings us back to that. So now we're going to go in. So speaking of generational trauma, I think that that's a conversation of generational trauma. Now we're going to get into Kyrie Irving's ass. Kyrie Irving, who is also known as being a flat earther, who's also had some very interesting conspiracy theories in his day. And shout out to the people who are flat earthers. I respect y'all. Round of applause, because y'all motherfuckers, let me tell you something. Okay, my sound effects are tripping right now. Hold on, ooh, my sound effects are tripping right now. I played that, mess up the whole goddamn thing. But the fact that you have been able to maintain your belief, even in, you know what I will say about people who are flat earthers? I will say this, and I'll say this about conspiracy theorists, right before I get to Kyrie Irving. The reason why I have such a high tolerance for conspiracy theorists is because there are so many things in this world that at a certain point were a conspiracy theory. There was a time when that shit was coming out that COVID was made in a lab. We all thought that was bullshit. Come to find out, it was indeed made in the lab. There was a time, and this is a very, very far parallel, but God damn it, y'all know how I do when I get on this microphone. There was a time in history where when Europeans first came to South Africa specifically, I want to say, and they were told the stories about gorillas, they thought they was full of shit. They was like, okay, a big black monster that's rolling through the jungles. Nigga, that's you. What are you talking about? But lo and behold, gorillas exist. Which is kind of why I kind of maybe believed that there was a Bigfoot in America. I just don't think there was a Bigfoot in America in the last 2,000 years. But the point of this is Kyrie Irving, and I think this is where this will be an educational moment for a lot of my audience who aren't African American. So there is a certain African-American culture is just so diverse. It's just so diverse. So it's just a big-ass gumbo pot of just different beliefs, different recipes for frying chicken and all that other shit that y'all think we do. But there is a certain sector of African-Americans whose beliefs of our origins differ from what you would say my belief of my origin is or what we're naturally taught. And there is a specific set of these people called the Black Hebrew Israelites. So around 1876, 1860s to 1890s, I want to say their first church was established in 1896. There was a belief that started where some African Americans got together and said, God came to them and through a vision and revealed to them that they are indeed, or I guess we are indeed children of the lost tribes of Israel. We are the true children of Israel. We are the true Israelites. Now, naturally, because I watch the History Channel and I still have a subscription to National Geographic, this is going to not mesh well with my beliefs on history and et cetera, et cetera. But we'll get to that part later. There's nothing wrong with you having a belief that even if it sounds outlandish to somebody else, it makes sense to you. I personally, like I've always expressed to people, I've always said at the end of the day, what you eat don't make me shit. I don't think there's nothing wrong with Black Hebrew Israelite beliefs until you get to the point where which some Hebrew Israelites, what they say is, there are some who deny the authenticity of traditional Jews or Israelites as being Jewish. There are some who will deny that. Kyrie Irving, basketball player, very famous basketball player, very famous man, tends to be somebody who stands on his principles. He was also the guy who last year they made a big deal about him because he refused to get vaccinated, and I stood by him. Because honestly, I ain't got vaccinated yet. I'll keep 100 with you. Federal employment and every goddamn thing. I still ain't got vaccinated just because I don't trust a vaccine that was made in a lab 4.5 months by motherfuckers working part time shifts that they found on Indeed.com. Like I don't trust it. Just being keep 100 with you. But Kyrie Irving posted a photo of a picture of a documentary that spoke, I guess. And you know what? Some say that the documentary is called Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black Men. And it's this whole thing trying to preach that Black people are truly Semitic. We are the real Jews of the 10 sons of the 10 tribes of Israel. And there are some who say that the documentary speaks negatively of Jewish people, that it denies the Holocaust and et cetera, et cetera. I'm gonna play Kyrie Irving's response to when he was being interviewed about it because he's got a lot of backlash for this. Hold on. My sound effects aren't working. Hold on.
Those falsehoods are unfortunate, and it's not that I don't believe in the Holocaust. I never said that. Never, ever have said it. It's not come out of my mouth. I never tweeted it. Never liked anything like it. So,
hold on real quick.
In itself is an event that means something to a large group of people that suffered something that could have been avoided. No one said we had to practice racism. No one said we had to treat each other like garbage. No one said that I had to stand here today and understand that many people that come from generations 60 years ago, 40 years ago, enslaved some of my ancestors still spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and it's still going on. And you guys are asking me to speak on something that was a documentary that I had nothing to do with. I didn't make it. So
that didn't go good. The soundboards and my sound effects are not work are tripping right now. Hold on, we're gonna have a quick moment. Let me see what's going on. Okay, that is not good. Well, just when I thought shit was going good. But anyway, long story short is I guess we are not going to have any sound effects today. So long story short, what was going on was Kyrie Irving has pissed off a certain portion of the Jewish community. He was suspended from 5 games. They gave him a list of demands saying that he had to donate $500,000 to organizations promised to fight hate, publicly denounce the film, meet with some guy, I forgot who the fuck he was, but acting like this guy was the king of all Jews. And I want to see, because I want to play Minister Farrakhan's clip. Minister Farrakhan, he had a response, so I want to see if you'll be able to hear it good.
I'd like to start with Brother Kyrie. What did he do wrong? He's searching for the knowledge of himself. He's searching to know who he is, who he belongs to. What is his root in this world? And some of you that are persecuting him are the very ones that took away from him and from us the knowledge of self. You took our language, you took our culture, you took our history, you took our minds and inserted your mind into our
I hope you got the clear message of that, but in essence, that was Farrakhan's response to how they were persecuting and doing Kyrie Irving. It's interesting because this is one of those moments in culture, and I guess in American culture, where you can see a disconnect in between two things, right? As Black people, we don't understand that when we have conversations about Israelites and saying that we are the true Jews, when we say that specific phrasing, the true Jews and true Israelites and of the true 10 tribes of Israel, we don't understand how, as there was one guy who had a phrase for it, he called it the Nazi replacement theory. We don't understand how insensitive that is to Jews and how that makes them feel. So maybe when Kyrie Irving was posting a photo of that documentary called Hebrews and Negroes, and then the documentary is saying it's denying the existence of the Holocaust, it's speaking a little bit unfavorably about Jews, we don't understand how that makes them feel. Now, in response to that, what I will say as a Black man, when you take Kyrie Irving and you deny him of a form of income, you force him to come out of pocket and pay $500,000 that I know for a fact it just wasn't laying in his cargo pocket some goddamn where. When you publicly shame him like they did that one blonde bitch from Game of Thrones when they made her walk through the middle of the city naked while they was throwing stones and shit and raving shit at her. Traumatically as a Black man, it does bring memories of what we used to refer to as breaking the buck. It brings us to the idea of how, for example, how they did a Muhammad Ali when in protest, when he stood on his ground and stood on his morals, they sent him to jail, robbed him of his belts. It does bring memory of how they did Juan Carlos, a very, very famous track runner, and it also his fellow man. I want to say it was him or her, him who committed suicide. And there are statues of them right now. But at the time, when they won the Olympics and they stood up and they did the Black Power fist at the Olympics, they were criminalized, hated, received death threats. The breaking the buck thing. For those who do not know what I mean when I say breaking the buck was a phrase of a term that they used to use for in slavery. One of the practices was they would get the biggest, strongest, the most the slave in the group that you would feel you would assume would be alpha. Sometimes it would be just be the husband in the household and break him in front of his wife or break him in front of the people. So that way it lets everybody else know if I can do this to him, what do you think I can do to you? So, and now we find ourselves here. Because the reason why this is such a big moment for me is because I can clearly see that in between Blacks and in between Jews, there has been no further progress of understanding each other at all since this whole thing started, because they're not having the right conversations. And granted, let me just also add this, most Black people have never met Jewish people before. Unless you are African-American from, say, for example, New York, Massachusetts, Boston, East Coast, possibly Chicago, Jewish people are just not somebody you run into. Like, I'll be real with you. I probably would be a lot more understanding of why Jews were upset. If this was a documentary that was insensitive to Mexicans or Filipino people, I would be up in fucking arms because, you guessed it, I grew up in California. So I'm naturally very familiar with those two groups of people. So it's just a familiarity thing. I understand what will be offensive to them. That's why if you notice something, that last episode I did when I was talking about that Tyga Caramba video shit, I noticed that when I watched the video, there were a lot of Black people who didn't like the video and weren't feeling the shit either. And that was because a lot of us grew up and we're like, well, a lot of us do grow up around Mexicans. And we were like, yeah, bro, that's cringeworthy. What the fuck you doing, bro? That shit, with that, this fucking Aunt Jemima, damn Mexican Aunt Jemima Maria shit, bro. Like, it's not, this ain't the vibe, you know? And I'm not crucifying him because we've all made dumbass mistakes. But I'll just say, just to nip the whole thing in the bud, because I ain't going to talk about this for long. It is interesting seeing the dichotomy, not the dichotomy, but just when I first did this episode, I wanted to have a really deep conversation about why I didn't believe in Black Hebrewite Israelism, Black Hebrew ideology. And also, let me add this, because this is a big thing. There is such a thing as Black Jews. There is such a thing. If you go to Ethiopia, and I want to say a few more countries, but Ethiopia specifically, they are on historic record, a specific portion of Ethiopian people, they call it Beta Israel, who have been followers and devout followers of the Judaic faith since 880. It's on historic record. Ain't no shit they just made up yesterday like them two motherfuckers did in America. That is true. But they are not related to us. The Egyptians are not related to us. A lot of people bring up the Egyptians. Egypt is one of those countries that's been occupied, dominated by every goddamn religious faith almost in the world. They're not related to us. Sometimes I get upset when I talk to people who are black. It's something about black people and white people from America. We go through this phase sometimes where we try to find ourselves in races and cultures that are so distant from us. I saw Joe Rogan talk to one guy about that, like how a lot of white people, they try to find inner peace and find counsel by going to these third world countries and finding a guru or somebody like that and practicing Buddhism or Namasteism or some shit like that. That last phrase I just made up, but you get what I'm saying. Like with black people, I do appreciate that we can celebrate our blackness and our, you know, our beautiful skin and all this other stuff and wear all the African ornaments and all that other shit. But at the same time, I have to bring up, we do have a beautiful culture here as well. And sometimes I'll just say this. You know the reason why I'm learning French Creole? The reason I'm learning French Creole, I'm going to talk about that in my other podcast too. For those of you guys who don't, I also do another podcast called Blackish Spanish, which is talking about just being bilingual, process of learning languages. You know why I'm learning French Creole is because my great grandmother, her family, grandmother, my grandmother even, they spoke French Creole because they were from Pointe-Coupée Parish or Pointe-Coupée, New Rose, Louisiana, Des Alamans, and there's a lot of Creoles there. I bring that up because I wanted to learn a language that I speak Portuguese and I speak Spanish and I speak English. I wanted to learn at least one language that to some degree was formed and altered a little bit by the people who I was descended from. That I can see the framework, that I can see and understand. Okay, I can see, like, for example, in French, when you say moi, in Creole, they say mo. Mo iba kone. They say, to say I don't understand shit. So I wanted to learn something that I feel like was connecting directly with my people. Granted, you could argue that they were colonized by the French, so they were using a colonizer's language, but I do like the fact that you can listen to it and you can clearly hear the influence of Africanism, African influence in it. That's why, like, I tell people, bro, like even the Geechies, I fuck with the Geechies and Gullah culture in South Carolina. I tell anybody, if you come from that bloodline, if you descended from those people, bro, Learn that shit. And, you know, hey, much love to them. Ooh, damn that. What's wrong with my sound effects? Shoot. What's going on with my sound effects? Hold on. I'm trying to figure out why my sound effects are so bad right now. I don't know. Okay, we're going to see that one. So, you know, at the end of the day, but preserve your culture. Be proud of your culture. Be proud of your identity, you know. Be proud of who you guys, be proud of what you guys stand for. Be proud of that. And for those who do not know what Gullah or Geechee culture is, Geechees and Gullahs, for lack of a better term, are basically a group. They are a portion of African Americans who inhabit the South Carolina Sea Islands, or the low country, we call it out that way. And in essence, for whatever reason, the word I was taught growing up was because a lot of them lived and developed in communities where there weren't a lot of white people. They learned English amongst themselves, so they still kept their African dialect and kept the African words in their English. So that's what Gullah and Geechee is. Like, you talk to them, they sound Caribbean. It's the funniest thing in the world. But learn that shit and treasure that shit. That's part of your heritage. That's part of your culture. Now, at the end of this, I wanted to talk about something else. And this is I was gonna play the sound of the interview from the video from this woman who was talking about this specific thing, but I don't think I'm gonna be able to because my sound effects just are being dicks right now. But in Iran, much love to Iran. Let me see if I can play this and maybe not be that big on it.
This is 20-year-old Armita Abbasi.
Okay, there we go.
Participating in the demonstrations in Iran, and then on October 18th, she was taken by the IRGC security agents to a hospital where the hospital staff discovered that she'd been arrested 8 days prior. There were signs of...
That don't sound pleasant. So, I'm gonna need a new soundboard. So, what's been going on in Iran is a very, very strict, by Sharia law, very strict Muslim country. They even have a thing called the moral police, which is a very raw translation into English, but they, in essence, parade through the streets, making sure to enforce the practices and maintaining the role and place that women should be maintained in Iran. Like, a big thing in Iran is the hijab. Women in Iran, they don't want to wear the hijabs no more, which is the cloth covering over their hair. They don't want to wear that anymore. They tired as fuck. It's hot as shit out there. They just tired. The clip I was going to play of you was this woman listing off all the different situations where people have been persecuted. People have been persecuted and people have been assaulted by law enforcement and security for denial to wear their hijab. Case in point, there was one big situation with a woman named Mahsa Amini. Mahsa Amini was a 22-year-old woman who the police picked up because they said, quote unquote, she wasn't wearing her hijab well. They snatched her off the street, beat the living shit out of her, dropped her off at the hospital, and they told the hospital to say that she had those injuries prior to even arriving. There was another situation with a 15-year-old girl named Asra Panahi. She was at a protest at her high school when the security forces arrived at the high school, snatched her up and beat the living shit out of her, dropped her off at the hospital and said that the, and dropped, sorry, they refused to sing the, I was reading my notes wrong. Her and a group of several other students refused to sing the national anthem praising the supreme leader of the country, who, fuck him, he's a dick as well. They grabbed her, beat the living shit out of her, and dropped her off at the hospital, said that she had those injuries prior to arriving there, and that was that. Now, I'm not the moral police, as they have out there. I'm not the judge of morality. We are not all good people. I think the last time I hit a girl, I was 7 years old. I was at Patterson Elementary School. This girl jumped on top of me and started slapping the shit at me. I slapped her in the eye, and she was kicking. Shout out to Jasmine, yo. Jasmine, hey, girl, if you out there, I'm going to let you know. You was whooping my ass that damn fall. You was whooping the shit out of me, let me tell you. Jasmine whooped the shit out of me. I was 7 years old. But as a grown man, do you know how sick, do you know how twisted, do you know how fucked up of a society you have to live in to you as a grown man with 4 and 5 or 6 other grown men get together and think it is okay, think it is fine to literally beat the shit out of a 15-year-old girl in a fucking high school to the point where she dies? Do you know how sick it is to pick a 22-year-old woman up off the street, throw her into a van, 60 of your homies, beat the shit out of her, and drop her off at the hospital talking about, oh, she hurt herself? And maybe my view is fucked up. Truth be told, maybe it's sexual bias, because I can tell you, in the security world, it's been many times where in the security world, we done fucked up a nigga and told the cops, hey man, he fell. But I feel like with the woman, specifically a 15-year-old girl, you should have some grace. even if what you're saying is, even if you feel this, her denial to sing, praising the supreme goddamn Homer Simpson looking ass motherfucker who runs the country. I try to always be understanding of people who come from these countries, people who come from these different cultures, because I know it's just different worlds, it's different environments. But bro, to some degree, we can do better as a people, bro. We can do better. Humans, we can do better, man. We can do better. That's why I always tell y'all, I've been telling y'all for the longest time, we really take for granted the basic liberties, basic allowances that the government permits us that we have in America. We really do. We really do. I watch Telemundo every other day. When I watched that goddamn fine ass woman interview those goddamn immigrantes who were marching through Costa Rica and marching through Nicaragua and Mexico and Thor, and they were marching and telling me about how they were in the jungle getting attacked by goddamn wild animals, getting raped by bandits just to even get to the border of the United States and cross over and get in here, bro, we really take for granted what we got here. Some of y'all saw my video I posted on TikTok where I was saying, hey, man, when you go to the nightclubs in Sacramento, when you go to the nightclubs in San Francisco, Modesto, Stockton, Los Angeles, when you go out there, you see the people out there, las mujeres que están en la calle con la carta en todo bien, veniendo taco en los hot dogs alrededor de Kobe con todo. When you see them in the streets, make sure you tip them. Make sure you give them a few dollars, because a lot of them literally are paying off a $10,000, $20,000, sometimes it can be debt that was owed for them to even get sponsored to even fucking come over here. If you want to have a real conversation, and we ain't going to get into depth with this, a lot of people, not them, let me clarify this, not those specific ones. A lot of people out here are selling dope in this country, selling drugs or prostituting in this country just to be able to pay off their citizenship, or just to be able to, they even paying for their citizenship. They're paying off the debt that was paid, that was owed from the motherfucker who owed to the motherfucker who snuck them over here. They ass are still in danger of getting deported even after the debt is paid. The world is a rough place, man. The world is a rough place. I pray for Iran. I pray for Venezuela. I understand at the end of the day, the world's a rough place. And probably next episode, we'll have a really deep conversation about open borders and all that other good stuff, because we don't have time for this right now. But I just want to tell y'all, man, just appreciate the country that we live in. Appreciate those of you guys who live here. Appreciate these basic given liberties. Appreciate the fact that if you are poor in America, you can literally some way still apply for EBT food stamps. You can apply for Section 8 housing. You can still survive. There's a lot of places where if your ass is poor, you just starve. I was telling my auntie this the other day. I really take for granted the idea that I, in my entire life, all my years on the face of this earth, I have never had to stand in the fucking street and fight for my plate of food. Think about that. Now, I've had to fight at my job before, but I have never had to get in the streets and square up with a motherfucker to eat that day. Never. Never. But that is a thing in this world. That is a thing in this world. When you go to certain places, when you go to certain corners of the world, there are people out there who are robbing and stealing just to survive. I know a lot of y'all motherfuckers in California, we can have a conversation. Y'all don't really got to be out there bipping cars, stealing catalytic converters from beneath cars and shit, and stealing my goddamn radiator. That last bar was personal. But just being for real, man, like, we can this will be another episode. We can talk deeper into this later, but I'll just sum all this up to say this. Jews are black. No, I'm joking. But much love, featuring Chicken Grease. Thank you for being a part of the family. Thank you for listening. This has been the West Coast Greatest Voice. Try to come back here maybe next Next week. I'm gonna give you guys at least one episode every week. But I'm doing my TikTok videos and my YouTube videos daily. This episode is gonna be uploaded on Spotify and YouTube, so have to subscribe. And thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the family.